Adventure 11 Revisiting the Jithayanki Outpost. Where is the drunken drow? The charmed Jithayanki had no knowledge of any drow being on base. However, he happily offered to bring the party to wherever they wanted to go. The prison sounded like a promising area, especially if the drow had been on base without the former commander's knowledge. Moving back to the vertical corridor, the group quickly descended down to a familiar center chamber. Recognizing the entrance to the base's temple, as well as the entrance to the base's throne room, the group was quickly able to orient themselves. Moving through the eastern door, the group found themselves in the base's prison. Rows of cells along both walls contained people from a variety of racial backgrounds. Despite the number of races represented among the prisoners, however, there were no drow. Sid detected magic to ensure that none of the prisoners were under an illusion. None of them were. Obviously, if the drow was on board, he was not a prisoner of the Jithayanki. After a brief conversation with some of the prisoners, the group realized most of them had been captured when the Jithayanki had been searching for the party in Kar. Knowing the Jithayanki had ventured to Kar hunting for the group, the party found themselves feeling partly responsible for everyone's capture. Milo began to investigate the machinery that operated the prison doors, while Zoltan plotted out how to use the prisoners as a distraction for the party. Unable to figure out the psionic-based machinery, Milo called over the charmed Jithayanki, asking him for help. Not being a prison guard himself, the charmed Jithayanki possessed only a rudimentary understanding of the machine. As Milo began explaining what he was trying to do, however, the guard managed to release the prisoners with an errant thought. At first the prisoners seemed unsure of what to do. Quickly the party began explaining what was going on. The party couldn't help the prisoners escape, but they could direct them to the location of the hangar, where the prisoners might be able to steal a ship. All the party asked of the prisoners was for them to wait 10 minutes before attempting escape. That would give the party time to get out of the way, so that they would not be found when the prisoners ran for it. Some of the prisoners were less than grateful for the chance the party had given them. But most of them were happy to at least have a chance at escape, no matter how slim. To further help them out, the group gave the prisoners some of their extra weapons, so that the prisoners would not be fleeing unarmed. Leaving the prisoners to their own devices, the group instructed the Jithayanki to move them to the guest quarters. Moving through the south door, the group passed by a pair of guards. The guards tensed as the party passed, but at a few words from the group's guide, relaxed and let the party continue on. Recognizing this hallway as the one leading to the hangar, the party realized they were directly in the path they had outlined for the escaping prisoners. Needing to get out of the hall quickly, lest they be caught in the chaos, when the prisoners made a break for freedom, the group quickly moved into left suite of rooms. Choosing the northernmost room at random, the group knocked on the door loudly. A large Jithayanki answered the door, yawning and rubbing sleep from his eyes. "Can't you tell we're sleeping in here? What do you want anyway?" His eyes narrowed as he spotted the mixed company of the party, but again, a few words from the group's charmed friend calmed him down. "Sorry. We're looking for a friend of ours and we think he may be here. Do you know of any drow staying in here?" "Oh. You mean Captain Thirimo? His room is right over there." With that the Jithayanki turned around and retreated back into his room, slamming his door in the party's face. The Jithayanki had already been forgotten, however. The party had finally found a drow. This Captain Thirimo was very possibly the person responsible for turning the group into fugitives on the run. Ideas of bloody vengeance danced through the party's collective minds as they advanced down the hall. This would hopefully be messy. Deciding that the courtesy of knocking would be wasted on a drow, Zoltan kicked in the door that had been indicated by the Jithayanki. Darting inside, blaster swiveling about the room, Zoltan provided cover as Milo and Sid likewise entered expecting a fight. No one was quite expecting the feminine gasp that came from the room. Instead of the nameless drow who had singled everyone out to be guinea pigs for the drow's insidious medical experiments, a beautiful female drow was found in bed. A naked, beautiful, female drow. Covering herself hastily, the unknown female was quick to demand, "Who are you? Who are you? Where's Captain Thirimo?" shouted back Zoltan. "Captain Thirimo's room is next door. But if you insist on questioning me, could you at least allow me to clothe myself?" Perhaps they were distracted by the drow's beauty, or her lack of clothes, or perhaps they were all still in shock. But either way, Zoltan, Milo, and Sid exited the drow's room and shut the door behind them. "She's going to put on some clothes," they sheepishly explained. Some time passed. Then a little more time passed. Slowly the regular policies of paranoia and suspicion began to reassert themselves within everyone's mind. Finally, Milo knocked on the door. There was no answer. Opening the door, no one was surprised when the room revealed itself to be empty. Walking forward cautiously, Milo approached a small metal box that had not been there when he had last been in the room. Lifting up the lid revealed a small, floating bead of light sitting within the box. Sid, who managed to see the bead over Milo's shoulder, immediately recognized it for what it was. "It's a fireball. Get down." Everyone quickly began moving back down the corridor and diving for cover. Sid and Milo barely made it out of the room before the fireball exploded. The room itself was badly burned, but most of the group was able to escape the fireball's blast. The charmed Jifayanki, unfortunately, had not been fast enough. From the other end of the hall, the Jifayanki the group had talked to earlier burst from their room angrily shouting, "What in hell is going on down there? Nothing to see here. Everything is fine. You just go back to your room," answered Zoltan. Perhaps it was the large weapons the party was carrying, or perhaps it was the large stretch of corridor that was now thoroughly charred, but obviously the Jifayanki felt they had a good reason to go back to bed, as they rapidly moved back into their rooms and slammed their doors shut. Moving back down the hallway cautiously, the group busted into the room that the vanished drow had indicated was Captain Thirimo's. The room was empty of life, but a quick search found two things of interest. The first was a formalized dress uniform. The other was a small journal. While Milo pocketed the insignia off of the uniform, Sid flipped to the last page of the journal. The entry related how Captain Thirimo had come to this Jifayanki base in the company of a Colonel Antififia to pick up some prisoners. It wasn't hard for everyone to realize that Colonel Antififia was the female drow in the other room. Letting her get away had definitely not been a good idea. Lacking a guide, or any plan of action for that matter, it was easy to see that everyone was in trouble. Earlier, the group had fled from the base and been forced to return. Doing so again didn't sit well with anyone. Multiple ideas were thought up and discarded in the space of a few moments. Any moment now alarms would likely go off, as the drow alerted the Jifayanki to the intruders. Finally deciding to simply find a warlock, the group rushed out of the hallway and ran back into the center of the base. What the party would do after finding the warlock was uncertain, but hopefully they could gain some information about the base. Flying to the vertical corridor, the party rapidly approached the warlock's room at the top. Suddenly Alejandra stopped and quickly flew ahead, giving the party the signal to halt. And then they all heard what Alejandra had detected. Voices. Several of them, coming from the warlock's room. One of the voices was female. Thinking fast, Sid reached into his pocket and withdrew one of the stones he had enchanted earlier. Whispering the command word he had embedded into it, all sound suddenly ceased around him. Judging the angle, Sid prepared to toss the stone up into the room. Within the area of magical silence, the drow female would be unable to use most of her spells, and would be at the mercy of the group. Suddenly, however, two drow faces appeared above the room's edge above. One was that of an unknown male, presumably Captain Thirimo. The other face was none other than Colonel Antififia. Tossing the stone, it flew up and directly past Antififia's head, enshrouding the warlock's room in silence. Banrak quickly took the opportunity to cast a spell, and vanished without a trace. Sid likewise was prepared to cast a spell, when suddenly his silenced stone was tossed down from above. Sid managed to get out. The stone quickly was caught by the gravity of the tunnel and struck one of the walls with a small click. Alejandra was already flying towards it to help dislodge it. Meanwhile, Captain Thirimo had disappeared from the opening above the party. Zoltan activated his rocket and shot up through the warlock's room and into the small window room above it. The metal walkway in the warlock's room activated, blocking the group's passage, as multiple Captain Thirimus appeared in front of the party. Making a guess, both Milo and Orendo focused their fire on the same one, causing the images to fade, as the real Captain Thirimo slumped to the ground, dead. Alejandra managed to dislodge the silenced stone and dropped it down the tunnel, allowing Sid to launch a blast of force at the metal wall blocking the group from the warlock's room. The metal began to buckle, but it did not give, so Orendo and Milo began to blast it with their weapons. Up above, Zoltan had managed to descend back towards the warlock's room, where he saw both the warlock Quasmo and Colonel Antififia. Opening fire, Zoltan found Antififia enshrouded in several layers of protective magic. Several blaster shots penetrated through, but they appeared to do little damage. Quasmo disappeared from the room, as Antififia looked up and began casting. A small fiery bead appeared in the room and Antififia disappeared shortly afterwards. Recognizing the fireball from earlier, Zoltan rocketed back up to the small room at the top of the tower, taking cover from the blast. Milo and Orendo continued to blast the door with Sid and Alejandra's help. The door was still more or less intact, but it was large enough for Milo to see through one of the holes. Looking inside, Milo noticed the small floating bead, which the party had quickly learned to be wary of. He also noticed Banrak, as she suddenly materialized within the now empty warlock's chamber, cursing over the results of her spell. "Watch out! There's a fireball in there!" Banrak quickly flew up to Zoltan, as the small bead hovered there silently. Suddenly, with a wet splattering sound, the bead exploded, covering the room in a very corrosive acid. Quickly the acid that covered the metal door began to hiss and steam, and the door soon melted into nothing. Knowing the group couldn't leave the base with Antififia alive to hound them, Sid had just begun to turn around when he glimpsed Quasmo behind him. Sid began to cast a feeble mind when suddenly the strands of magic twisted away from him and went out of control. Settling over Quasmo, the altered spell suddenly transmuted Quasmo into the form of a night tyrant. Luckily, Orendo's reflexes were just as fast as Sid's, and the Jifayanki turned beholder was soon returned to his natural form, after a quick barrage from Orendo's blaster. Zoltan and Banrak came flying down from above, grabbing Captain Thirimo's corpse on their way. As Orendo bent down to sort through the dead drow's belongings, Sid and Banrak exchanged a long, silent look at one another. Both of them recognized all of the telltale signs. Somehow they had entered into a wild magic zone,